Welcome to this Ableton Live 12 lesson on building a vinyl heat resplend for old school jungle and DNB vibes, without wrecking your headroom. The whole point here is simple: we want bass that feels alive, rough around the edges, and full of character, but still disciplined enough to sit under chopped breaks and punchy drums. In drum and bass, the bass has to do a lot. It has to carry weight, create motion, and still leave space for the kick, snare, and all the rhythmic detail in the break. If you overdo the distortion or widen the low end too much, the sound might seem huge and solo, but in the full track it turns cloudy, unstable, and smaller than you expected. So in this lesson, we're going to build a bass patch the way a working DNB producer actually would, with separate layers, clean routing, controlled saturation, mono discipline in the low end, and automation that evolves across the arrangement. The goal is that tape-worn, metallic, slightly dusty Reese energy, with a solid sub underneath and enough headroom left for the drums to breathe. Let's start by thinking of the bass as two separate jobs instead of one sound. One job is foundation. That's the sub. The other job is attitude. That's the Reese. If those two roles fight each other, the track gets heavy in the wrong way. So the first move is to build a clean bass rack with separate sub and Reese lanes. In Ableton Live 12, create a MIDI track and load an instrument rack. Inside that rack, make at least two chains. On one chain, build the sub. On the other, build the Reese. For the sub, operator is perfect, or analog if you prefer, because a sine wave is the cleanest foundation you can get. Keep it simple. Use a sine oscillator, drop it down around one or two octaves, and avoid extra unison, chorus, or stereo processing. The sub needs to be steady and boring in the best possible way. That consistency is what gives the track weight without smearing the mix. If you need it, add an EQ8 after the sub and low-pass it around 90 to 120 Hz, just to make sure nothing unnecessary is creeping up into the low mids. But don't overprocess it. A good sub should feel like it's almost disappearing on its own, while still making the whole track feel anchored. Now on the Reese chain, we build the character. You can use analog, wave-eatable, or even simpler if you've resampled a nice bass texture. Start with two detune saws, or a saw-style wave-eatable. Keep the detune subtle. We're not trying to make it wobble uncontrollably. We want movement, not chaos. A total detune range around 8 to 20 cents is usually enough to give that living, unstable Reese quality. Here's a really important point. Keep the Reese out of the deepest subzone. Think of it as living mostly above 120 Hz. That separation is what keeps the low end clean and stops the distortion from chewing up your headroom. Now let's add the vinyl heat character. This is where we get the rough, warm, old-school edge without turning the whole thing into a mess. On the Reese chain, add saturator first and start gently. Drive around +2 to +6 dB is a good place to begin. Turn soft clip on. Then immediately level match the output so the sound isn't just better because it's louder. That's a huge habit in bass design. Every time you add a device, trim the output and compare the tone at the same volume. If you want more grime, add overdrive after that. Focus it somewhere in the mid-range, maybe around 250 to 600 Hz. Keep the drive moderate, and if the sound gets harsh, darken the tone a bit. The idea is to rough up the harmonics, not destroy the body of the sound. If you want a little more vinyl-style grit, a light touch of redux can work too, but be careful. This is one of those effects that can sound amazing in a small amount and completely ruin the patch when overused. Apply it only to the mid layer, never to the sub. A tiny amount of downsampling or bit reduction can add that dusty, old record edge without making the bass fall apart. Next, we shape the stereo image. This is one of the biggest headroom-saving moves in the whole lesson. The sub must stay mono. No chorus, no widening, no stereo delay. If needed, put a utility on the sub chain and set the width to 0%, or just make sure the synth itself is mono. On the Reese chain, we can add width, but only above the low end. Put an EQ8 first and high pass the Reese somewhere around 90 to 130 Hz. Then you can use chorus ensemble very lightly, or widen the chain with utility. If you're using chorus ensemble, keep the mix low, somewhere around 10 to 25%. If you're using utility width, keep it sensible, maybe 110 to 140%. The idea is that the stereo movement lives in the harmonics, not in the weight of the bass. And here's a teacher tip. If the Reese gets foggy, split the character into two layers. Keep one mid layer more centered, and if you want extra air or grind, add a separate top texture layer that's wider and more aggressive. That way, you can make the top feel exciting without destabilizing the core. Now let's give the Reese some movement. Old school jungle bass usually feels like it's breathing with the break. It's not just a static note. In wave-eatable or analog, use subtle modulation on the filter cutoff or wave-eatable position. A low-pass or band-pass filter works well here. Start with the cutoff somewhere in the 200 to 800 Hz range depending on the note, and keep resonance low to medium, so it doesn't get whistly or nasal. Then add a little rhythmic modulation using an LFO. Sync it to something like 1/8, 1/16, or 1/4, depending on how busy the groove is. Keep the depth modest. If the break is already chopped and active, the bass should support the rhythm, not fight it. For a classic jungle feel, automate the filter over the phrase. Think in 16-bar movement. Start dark, open it up gradually. Add a bit more bite later. Then pull it back before the next switch up or fill. That creates the sense that the bass is evolving like a DJ set, not just looping forever. Now let's talk about the note pattern, because this is where a lot of bass patches come alive or die. Don't just hold long notes across the whole bar. In DNB, the bass works best when it talks to the drums. Think call and response. Leave space for the snare, ghost notes, and break hits. A strong starting pattern is a short sub note on the downbeat or pickup, a restab on an offbeat, another answer note before the snare lands, and maybe a longer note at the end of the phrase to create lift. Shorten notes until the groove feels tight, and only leave longer notes where the arrangement needs them. Overlapping low notes too much can create smear and pitch stacking, especially in jungle tempos. If your instrument responds to velocity, use it. If it doesn't, you can still map dynamic changes to filter or amp using macro controls in the instrument rack. That gives the phrase a more musical push and pull. Once the two layers are working together, route them to a bass bus or bass group. This is where we glue things gently, not aggressively. On the bass bus, keep the processing minimal. A gentle EQ8 can help clear out low-mid buildup, especially somewhere around 200 to 400 Hz if the bass is clouding the drums. If the layers feel disconnected, a glue compressor with a low ratio, slowish attack, and just 1 or 2 dB of reduction can help the patch feel like one instrument. But don't squeeze it flat. This is bass music, not a radio pop pad. Always keep an eye on the master level. In a good DNB premix, you want power, but you also want room. A very practical target is to keep the master peaking around -6 dBFS before final mastering. That gives you space for the kick, the snare, and the bass to stack without clipping or fighting the limiter too early. Now here's a very useful workflow move. Resample the bass once the tone is close. This is classic DNB production logic. When you've got a phrase that feels right, print it to audio. Record 4 to 8 bars onto an audio track, then choose the best bits. This gives you a few advantages. You can commit to the sound instead of endlessly tweaking it. You can chop the bass for switch-ups. You can reverse a tail, trim note endings, or layer effects and vocal hits over the resampled audio. And honestly, it makes the track feel more like a record and less like a programming exercise. Let's bring it all into arrangement now. A strong DNB tune usually doesn't keep the bass intensity flat. It evolves. In an 8-bar, 16-bar, or 32-bar drop, you can start with just the sub and a filtered reese. Then bring in the full reese later in the phrase. Add extra saturation or slightly more width in the second half. Then pull some of that back before the next section so the arrangement breathes. Good automation targets here are filter cutoff, saturator drive, utility width, chorus wet slash dry, and even the high pass position on the reese layer. You can also use short filter delay sends for transition moments if you want a little tension before the next hit, and because this is called vinyl heat, think like a DJ tool as well. Give yourself a clean intro with filtered bass teasing. Give the drop full impact. Then leave an outro that's a little more restrained so the track is easier to mix. That kind of arrangement thinking makes your tune usable on a system, not just impressive in a session file. Before you call it done, test everything in mono and against the drums. Put utility on the master or bass bus and collapse to mono. Listen for what disappears. Does the sub vanish? Does the reese get facey? Does the kick lose impact? Does the break get muddy? If the kick is getting swallowed, shorten the bass notes or reduce the sub tail. If the bass gets weak in mono, reduce widening and rebuild more the harmonic energy in the center. If the break starts sounding cloudy, cut a little around 250 to 350 Hz on the bass, bus or tame the saturation. That mono check is where the patch becomes real. A sound that feels massive in solo but falls apart in the mix is not finished. A sound that stays focused, punchy, and characterful against the drums is ready. A few common mistakes to avoid here. Don't make the sub stereo. Don't distort the entire bass just because you want more edge. Don't let the re slive too low in the spectrum. Don't overdo the chorus or width. Don't ignore note length. And don't simply turn it up and call it heavy. In DNB, clarity and arrangement do a lot more work than raw loudness. If you want to push the sound further, try a few advanced variations. You can build a dual res contrast where one layer is darker and centered, while another is brighter and wider, then crossfade between them across the arrangement. You can add a tiny bit of pitch drift on one oscillator to create a worn tape feel. You can split the processing into mid and side, keeping the center cleaner while adding grit to the sides. You can also make a parallel crunch lane, with a high-pass distorted copy blended quietly under the main bass for extra bite.